إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد Then to continue with Al-Aqidah Tahawiyyah, the creed compiled by Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, with the explanation of Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, then we reached point number 127 in the numbering of the edition here of Sheikh al-Fawzan. Then we reached point number 127. ولا نجادل في القرآن ونشهد أنه كلام رب العالمين. He said, and we do not dispute concerning the Quran, and we bear witness that it is the speech of the Lord of the whole of creation. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, said in his explanation, he's saying, لَا نُجَادِلُ فِي الْقُرْآنِ, we do not dispute concerning the Qur'an. This includes, I mean not disputing about the Qur'an, it includes not saying that it is not from Allah. I mean that we don't say the Qur'an is not from Allah, as is said by the unbelievers. And they say it is from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we don't say what the unbelievers say about the Qur'an, that it is not from Allah, it is from just Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We don't say that. And he said, and likewise, disputing about tafsir, explanation of the meanings of the Qur'an. That's another dispute that we don't do regarding the Qur'an. That we do not dispute regarding tafsir, explanation of the meanings of the Qur'an. So we do not explain the Qur'an from our own selves, because the Qur'an is not to be explained except by what occurs in the Book of Allah or by what occurs in the Sunnah of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or by that which the companions said, or by that which the Tabi'un, the next generation after the companions, said, or by what is necessitated by the Arabic language which it came down in. So it's the second type of disputing he mentions that we don't do regarding the Quran. We don't dispute about its correct meaning. We don't dispute it from, we don't interpret the Quran, explain it from our own minds. Rather, we explain it by what occurs in the book, in the Sunnah, with what the companions said, with what the Tabi'in said, or in accordance with what is demanded by the Arabic language. Then he said, so we do not speak about it with our restricted intellect. Rather, it is explained by Allah, the one free of all imperfections, the one who sent it down, or by the Prophet, alayhi salatu wassalam, who was entrusted with clearly explaining it, or by the companions, yarhamukallah, those who studied under the chosen messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, or the tabi'un, those who narrated from the students of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or by the language which it came down in, because it came down in a clear Arabic tongue. So that he further clarified these five ways in which the Quran is correctly explained. Then he said, and as for explaining it by what Dr. So-and-so says, or by what so-and-so the thinker says, or by what so-and-so the astrologer or astronomer says, then people's theories vary. So today they have a theory, and tomorrow they have another theory which invalidates the first one, because that is from the work of humans. So therefore, the speech of Allah is not explained with these things, which alter and change, as is done by the ignorant people today. And they say, this is from the scientific miracles. I mean, those who use present-day scientific theories, which will probably change tomorrow, they use these theories to explain the Quran. As Sheikh Fawzan said, this is what the ignorant people do. Then he said, moving on to the next phrase, and his saying, وَنَشْهَدُ أَنَّهُ كَلَامُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, and we bear witness that it is the speech of the Lord of the whole of creation. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, we bear witness that the Quran is the kalam of Allah, is the speech of Allah. Allah spoke with it, haqiqatan, in reality. And Jibreel heard it from Allah, and he conveyed it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam conveyed it to his ummah, to his nation. And his ummah conveyed it every generation to the next generation which came after it. So we write it down, and we recite it, and we memorize it. And yet it is still the speech of Allah. It is not our speech, nor is it the speech of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nor is it the speech of Jibreel alayhi salam. And that's where Sheikh Al-Fawzan ends explanation on that particular point. And as for Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, then he brings a long footnote here, which I'll just quote the first part of. He said, I say that from the greatest tribulations which have struck some of the sects in Islam, because of rhetorical theology, ilmul kalam, is that they have deviated away from having iman, that the noble Quran is indeed the speech of the Lord of creation in reality, not metaphorically. And he said, and as for the Mu'tazila, those who said that it is created. The Mu'tazila, they said about the Qur'an, it is a created thing. Then their matter in that regard is clear and exposed. However, there is another sect which ascribes itself to the Sunnah and rebuts this saying of the Mu'tazila and others from those who have deviated away from Islam. And they are, I mean this sect, they refute the Mu'tazila about the Qur'an. The Mu'tazila said this Qur'an is something created. So amongst those, the people of the Sunnah refuted them, but also this group, the Ash'aris, the Ash'a'ira, they also refuted the Mu'tazila and said that saying is wrong. So Shaykh Albani said here, and they are the Ash'a'ira, the Ash'aris, and the Maturidis, the Maturidiyya. But they in reality agree with the Mu'tazila in their saying that the Qur'an is created and that it is not from the speech of the Lord of the creation. I mean, these two sects who refute the Mu'tazila, the Ash'a'ira, the Ash'aris, and the Maturidiyya, they themselves, in effect, they agree with the saying of the Mu'tazila. Even though outwardly they refute them, but behind that, they actually agree with them. He said, they agree with the Mu'tazila in their saying that the Qur'an is created and not a saying of the Lord of the creation, except they don't openly state that. They take cover behind their explanation of divine speech, which they explain to be kalamun nafsi qadim غير مسموع من أحد من الملائكة والمرسلين وأنه تعالى لا يتكلم إذا شاء وأنه متكلم منذ الأزل. So this is the definition that they give, the Ash'aris and the Maturidis. Outwardly looking as if they refute the Mu'tazila, but inwardly agreeing with them. He said, because they explain divine speech, they explain the speech of Allah to be eternal speech within the self, which is not heard by anyone from the angels or the messengers. And they say that He, the Most High, does not speak when He wishes. Rather, He has eternally been one who speaks. And then Sheikh Albani mentions a fine refutation. Whoever's got these notes, he can refer to it. It's a long refutation and it's quite involved, where Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah refutes this saying of the Ash'aris and the Maturidis. Those who outwardly they disagree with the Mu'tazila and those who say Allah's speech is created, these two groups come along and disagree with that and outwardly refute it. But behind, they agree with it. Because the explanation they give to Allah's speech is this thing that they built from their own logic, which is totally illogical. As Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah points out, that they themselves do not have any understanding of this saying. This saying that they make, Allah's speech is just speech within Himself. He doesn't speak as He wishes. His speech is not heard. Then he said they built this just from their own intellect. They have no text for it, and they build it just with their intellect, and then in their intellect they have to admit they can't understand their own saying. So then Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he brings a refutation of that saying of theirs. Then back to what At-Tahawi rahimahullah brings, and the explanation of Shaykh al-Fawzan, and he said, point number 128, obviously all these points here being with regard to the speech of Allah. Point number 128, نَزَلَ بِهِ الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينِ فَعَلَّمَهُ سَيِّدَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ مُحَمَّدًا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ. He said, the trustworthy spirit, الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينِ, descended with it, and he taught it to the chief of the messengers, Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. May Allah extol him and grant him peace and security and his true followers. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, Ar-Ruhul Amin, the trustworthy spirit, is Jibreel. And he was called that because he was Mu'taman. He was one who is trustworthy. Jibreel is one who is trustworthy and trusted. He does not change and alter. He was trusted with the duty given to him by Allah. And he cannot be accused of treachery, as is said by the Jews, who said, Jibreel is our enemy. Or, as is said by the extreme Shia, that the messengership was actually for Ali. However, Jibreel acted treacherously, they say, and conveyed it to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is denying the truth of what Allah said, because Allah called him Aminan, a trustworthy one. I mean, this saying of the Jews that Jibreel is their enemy because he brought the messengership to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and likewise the saying of the extreme amongst the Shia, the most extreme Shia, that they said that the true messenger should have been Ali radiallahu an, but Jibreel came to the, he proved treacherous and came to the wrong person knowingly and brought the message to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Shaykh al-Fawzan said this saying is a denial of the truth of what Allah said, because Allah called him, Jibreel, trustworthy. And he said, so Allah sent down with regard to the Jews. And he quotes the ayah, مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًا لِجِبْرِيلَ فَإِنَّهُ نَزَّلَهُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ. Surah Al-Baqarah, the second surah, ayah 97, with the explanation, whoever is an enemy to Jibreel, then he, Jibreel, brought the Qur'an down to your heart, to the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, attesting to the truth of the books which came before it. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and then he said, and he mentions the next ayah 98 from Surah Al-Baqarah, مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًا لِلَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَرُسُولِهِ وَجِبْرِيلَ وَمِيكَالَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَدُوٌ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. With the explanation, whoever is an enemy to Allah and to his angels and to his messengers and to Jibreel and to Mikael, then Allah is an enemy to the unbelievers. Allah is an enemy to the unbelievers. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so whoever has enmity towards Jibreel or any angel from the angels, then Allah is an enemy to him. And likewise, whoever has enmity towards a messenger from the messengers, then he is a kafir, an unbeliever. And whoever has enmity towards a beloved and obedient servant from the servants of Allah, then he is challenging Allah to war, as is authentic in the hadith. And in a footnote, they mention the hadith, or they mention part, the first part of the hadith. So from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, who said, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى قَالْ مَنْ عَادَى لِي وَلِيًّا فَقَدْ آذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَدْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ وَمَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أَحْبَبْتُهُ حتى أحببته. The hadith reported by Al-Bukhari as hadith 6502, with the wording from Abu Hurairah radiallahu an, who said, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Allah the Most High said. So it's a hadith Qudsi, hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam directly reports the words of Allah, that Allah the Most High said, whoever has enmity towards a beloved servant of mine, then I have declared war upon him. And whoever draws closer to, and whenever my servant draws closer to me, rather, and my servant does not draw closer to me, and my servant does not draw closer to me with anything more beloved to me than that which I have made obligatory upon him, and my servant does not cease drawing closer to me with the optional duties until I love him. As we said, hadith reported, as I mentioned, reported by Al-Bukhari as hadith 6502. Then Shaykh Al-Fawzan continues, so Jibreel taught it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, just as he, the Most High, said, Allamahu Shadidul Quwa, Surah An-Najm, the 53rd Surah, Ayah 5, with the explanation, one mighty in strength taught him. In one mighty in strength, Jibreel taught the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam the Quran. Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, and the pronoun here, Allamahu, he taught him. The pronoun here, him, the pronoun receiving the action of the verb in Allamahu, he taught him. Then the him refers to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the one Shadidul Quwa, the one mighty in strength, is Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam. So he taught the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in accordance with the command of Allah. And that's where Shaykh Al-Fawzan ends explanation of this point. And just as an additional point here, then Ibn Abil Izz says in his explanation of At-Tahawiyyah, he makes a point with regard to why Jibreel alayhi salam is called Ar-Ruhul Amin, as occurs in this text and as occurs in the ayah. So first of all, he quotes the ayah, Nazala bihi ar-Ruhul Amin. This first part that Tahawi brings is taken directly from an ayah. This ayah, Nazala bihi ar-Ruhul Amin. Surah Ash-Shu'ara, ayah 193. With the explanation, the trustworthy spirit descended with it, with the Qur'an. Ibn Abil Izz said, he is Jibreel alayhi salam. He was called a ruhan, he was called a spirit, because he carried the revelation through which life comes to the hearts. And that's why Ibn Abil Izz said that Jibreel is called a ruh, a spirit, because he's the one who brought down the revelation which brings life to people's hearts. It's like a spirit for their heart, for their hearts. It's like a spirit in their hearts. It brings life to them. It brings the revelation comes upon the dead hearts. It's like it brings them alive. So therefore, Jibreel is called the trustworthy spirit. Then with regard to the next point, again, on the same topic, with regard to the Qur'an being the speech of Allah, and point number 129, وهو كلام الله تعالى لا يساويه شيء من كلام المخلوقين. And it is the speech of Allah, the Most High. Nothing from the speech of the created beings equals it. Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, it is Kalamullah. It is the speech of Allah. He, the Perfect, spoke with it in reality. And Jibreel heard it from Allah in reality. And he conveyed it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam without any addition or any deletion. He didn't add, Jibreel did not add anything to it and didn't take anything away. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan quotes a number of ayahs. لَا يَأْتِيهِ الْبَاطِلُ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَلَا مِنْ خَلْفِهِ Surah Fussilat, the 41st surah, ayah 42. With the explanation, it's in the context with regard to the Qur'an, falsehood cannot approach it from in front or from behind. And he quotes a number of ayahs together. وَإِنْ كَادُوا لِيَفْتِنُونَكَ عَنِ الَّذِي أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ لِتَفْتَرِيَ عَلَيْنَا غَيْرَهِ وَإِذًا لَاتَّخَذُوكَ خَلِيلًا وَلَوْلَا أَنْ ثَبَّتْنَاكَ لَقَدْ كِدْتَ تَرْكَنُ إِلَيْهِمْ شَيْئًا قَلِيلًا إِذًا لَأَذَقْنَاكَ ضِعْفَ الْحَيَاةِ وَضِعْفَ الْمَمَاتِ ثُمَّ لَا تَجِدُ لَكَ عَلَيْنَا نَصِيرًا Surah Al-Isra, the 17th surah, ayahs 73 to 75. With the explanation, and as the people of Tafsir mentioned, it's in the context of the people of Makkah, the mushriks of Makkah, trying to get the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say something different, slightly different to the revelation, what he was commanded to. So the ayahs with the explanation, they were about to tempt you away from that which we revealed to you in the Qur'an, for you to fabricate something other than it upon us. And then they would certainly have taken you as a close friend. And if we had not made you firm, you would almost have inclined a little towards them. Then, if you had done so, we would have caused you to taste a double punishment in this life and a double punishment after death. Then you would have found none to help you against us. Obviously, meaning that they couldn't even get him to do that, to deviate slightly, even though they wanted to. They couldn't even get the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to change anything slightly at all. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so the messenger conveyed the Qur'an and did not delete anything and did not add anything to it and did not change anything. Then he quotes the ayah, or the three ayahs, وَلَوْ تَقَوَّلَ عَلَيْنَا بَعْضَ الْأَقَاوِيلِ لَأَخَذْنَا مِنْهُ بِالْيَمِينِ ثُمَّ لَقَطَعْنَا مِنْهُ الْوَتِينِ Surah Al-Haqqah, the 69th surah, ayahs 44 to 46. With the explanation, and if he, I mean the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he had made up any false sayings about us, we would surely have seized him by his right hand. Then we would have cut off the main blood vessel to his heart. Shaykh Fawzan said, and it is the speech of Allah, it is Kalamullah, it is the speech of Allah, the Perfect and Most High, just as it came down. So Allah preserved it from any addition or deletion. And he quotes the ayah, Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun. Surah Al-Hijr, the 15th surah, ayah 9. With the explanation, it is we who sent down the reminder, the Qur'an, and it is we who will guard it. And with regard to the last point, again, the last point on this same topic, point number 130, وَلَا نَقُولُ بِخَلْقِهِ ولا نخالف جماعة المسلمين. And we do not say that it is created, and we do not contradict the united body of the Muslims. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, in explanation, we do not say that the Qur'an is created, as is said by the Jahmiyyah. For this is unbelief, is kufr, and is a rejection of the speech of Allah. And it is to describe Allah with deficiency, and that he does not speak. I mean, they're saying it means Allah in reality does not speak. The Quran, they're saying that Quran is just something created which Allah created, means he didn't speak with it. So therefore, they're saying means that Allah does not speak. So it's describing Allah with that deficiency. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, and one who does not speak, alhamdulillah, one who does not speak is deficient and is not one deserving to be worshipped. And then he brings some ayahs in proof of that. His statement here, that one who does not speak, one who is not able to speak and doesn't speak, he does not deserve to be worshipped. And he brings the ayahs, he said, and therefore, when the people of As-Samiri, this evildoer, As-Samiri, in the time of Musa alayhi salam, he said, and therefore when the people of As-Samiri said, this is your God and the God of Musa, by which they meant the calf or the idol. Was he referring to the incident when they took an idol to be worshipped besides Allah? And they said about the idol, about the calf which they made, this is your God and the God of Musa, meaning the calf or the idol. Then Allah, the Majestic and Most High, said, أَفَلَا يَرَوْنَ أَنْ لَا يَرْجِئُ إِلَيْهِمْ قَوْلًا وَلَا يَمْلِكُ لَهُمْ دَرًّا وَلَا نَفْعًا. Surah Taha, the 20th Surah, Ayah 89. That Allah said in response to what they said, this Ayah, Ayah 89 from Surah Taha, with the explanation. When they said about this idol, this is the God of Musa, this is your God and the God of Musa, Allah the Most High responded to them with the explanation, do they not see that it does not respond to them with any saying? Allah refuted their claim with that. Do they not see that it does not respond to them with any saying? Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, so he said, أَلَّا يَرْجِئُ إِلَيْهِمْ قَوْلًا, that it does not respond to them with any saying, he said, meaning it does not speak. So this shows the falsity of their worshipping it. May Allah use that as an evidence, Allah the Most High used that as an evidence against them. That this idol which they claimed was their God who deserved to be worshipped, Allah responded to that by it doesn't even speak. So that was a proof of the falsity of their worshipping it, the fact that it does not speak. Then Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, and in the other ayah, another ayah about the same incident, أَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّهُ لَا يُكَلِّمُهُمْ وَلَا يَهْدِيهِمْ سَبِيلًا. Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th Surah, Ayah 148. With the explanation, do they not see that it does not speak to them, nor could it guide them to the way? Then Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, and speech is an attribute of perfection, and absence of speech is an attribute of deficiency. So Allah, the Perfect and Most High, is declared free of the characteristics of deficiency. And he has the attributes of perfection. I mean, speech is an attribute of perfection. So that Allah has that attribute. An absence of speech, an inability to speak, is an attribute of deficiency, and Allah is declared free of that. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan moves on to the last part, وَلَا نُخَالِفُ, the last part of this phrase, وَلَا نُخَالِفُ جَمَاعَةَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, and we do not contradict the united body of the Muslims. He said, so the united body of the Muslims hold as their iman that it, the Qur'an, that it was sent down in reality and is not something created. It originated from him, meaning it originated from Allah, and it will return to him. This is the creed and belief, the aqidah of the Muslims with regard to the Qur'an. And likewise, we do not contradict the united body of the Muslims in anything from the affairs of the religion which they are united in consensus upon. Allah the Most High said, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَأْتَبِعَ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمْ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. Surah An-Nisa, the fourth surah, ayah 115. With the explanation, and whoever opposes the messenger after the guidance has been made clear to him, and he follows other than the path of the believers, then we will leave him to the path he has chosen, and we will burn him in hellfire. And what an evil destination. So Shaykh al-Fawzan makes the point here, that this phrase here, it refers in particular to the Qur'an, that we don't differ with the united body of the Muslims with regard to belief in the Qur'an, that is being the speech of Allah not created. And likewise, in all the rest of the affairs in which there is ijma, consensus of the Muslims, we don't differ with the united body of the Muslims in that either. Then he quotes this ayah, Surah An-Nisa, the fourth surah, ayah 115, as evidence. Then he finishes with regard to the saying that he mentioned in his explanation just before, min Allahi bada'a. It originated from Allah. That the Qur'an originated from Allah. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and it is not, as some of the misguided people say, that Jibreel took it from Allah al-Mahfuz. These misguided people, they say, that Jibreel, he just took the Qur'an, he transcribed it from the preserved tablet. This is not the case. Rather, he heard it directly from Allah. وَإِلَيْهِ يَعُودْ, and it will return to him. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning at the end of time, the Qur'an will be raised up to Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. And this is one of the signs of the hour. So the Qur'an will be taken away from the Mus'hafs and from the hearts of men, and it will not remain upon the earth. As I mean, at the end of the time, this is a sign of the hour. The Qur'an will be raised up. And just, I'll just mention finally then, a saying of Sheikh Abdul Aziz Ibn Mani in his notes to At-Tahawiyyah, where he makes a point here, where he says, with regard to the saying about the Qur'an being created, this saying of kufr, that the Qur'an is created, he said, know that those who say that the Qur'an is created, the most famous of them are two groups. The first of them are the Mu'tazila, those who say that the Qur'an which Jibreel came with is the speech of Allah in reality, however it is created. That's what the Mu'tazila say. They agree with the first part. They say, or they say, they use the wording, the Qur'an which Jibreel came with is in reality the speech of Allah. But it is something created. Allah's speech is something created. That's the first group in this regard who said the Qur'an is created. And then the second group, he said, are al-mutakallimun, the people of kalam, the people of blameworthy theological rhetoric, from the Kullabiyya and their followers. So these Kullabiyya, the people nowadays who take the name of the Ash'aris. The second group, he said, are the people of kalam from the Kullabiyya and their followers who say the speech of Allah, when they define the speech of Allah, they say the speech of Allah is a single meaning, existing within His Self, He the Most High. And if it is expressed in Hebrew, it becomes the Tawrat. And if it is expressed in the Syriac language, it becomes the Injil. And if it is expressed in the Arabic language, it becomes the Quran. This is their evil saying. They say it's just something, speech is just something existing within Allah's self. And when it's expressed in different languages, it takes different forms. So if it's in Hebrew language, it's called the Torah. Syriac language, it's called the Injil. And if it's in Arabic, it's called the Quran. But it's one and the same thing within Allah's self. This is their evil saying. He said, and they hold this false belief as their religion before Allah. And they agree with the Mu'tazila about the about the saying that the Quran which Jibreel came with is actually created. Except that the Mu'tazila, they say it is, the Quran is the speech of Allah in reality, but created. And the Qullabiyya and their followers, they say it is just, I mean what Jibreel came with is just an expression of the speech of Allah. And a secondary account of the speech of Allah. So therefore, upon the saying of those Qullabiyya and their followers, the Prophet alayhi salam did not convey the speech of Allah. I mean, in their saying, what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came with was not the speech of Allah, it was an expression of it. Rather, he brought something which indicated towards it, and he brought a report about it. So this contains a denial of the messengership. I mean, the saying of the Qullabiyya, those who nowadays they call themselves the Ash'aris, it actually contains a refutation of messengership. Sheikh Ibn Mani said, because messengership, a messenger, a rasul, is one who conveys the speech of the one who sent him. And therefore, the people of the Sunnah defeat them with this. Ibn al-Qayyim said in his Nuniyya, his famous poem of Ibn al-Qayyim with regard to Aqidah, each line ending in Noon, he said about in this regard, وَإِذَا انْتَفَتْ صِفَةُ الْكَلَامِ كَذَلِكَ الْإِرْسَالُ مَنْفِيٌّ بِلَا فُرْقَانِ. Ibn al-Qayyim said, and if the attribute of speech is negated, then likewise messengership is also negated without any difference. فَرِسَالَةُ الْمَبْعُوثِ تُبَلِّغُ كَلَامَ الْمُرْسِلِ أَدَّائِ بِلَا نُقْصَانِ. Because messengership of one who has been sent means to convey the speech of the one who sent the messenger with a call without any deletion. Ibn Sheikh Ibn Mani said, rahimahullah, he said, to the end of these tremendous lines of poetry which should be held onto with the molar teeth. So he's saying how evil they're saying is what they're saying actually in reality amounts to when they say that the speech of Allah is just something existing within Himself. It's not heard by any messenger or any angel and so on. It involves a denial of the true messengership of the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Shaykh Ibn Mani, rahmahullah, finished. And one of the most amazing things is that when a person of knowledge from these followers of the Kullabiyya when he is reminded of the like of these lines of poetry, and when he hears a mention of the Jahmiyya and the Mu'tazila, when it's mentioned to one of these people of Kullabiyya about the Jahmiyya saying that the Quran is created, denying that it's the speech of Allah, when this person from the Kullabiyya hears that, then he says, there are people who have become extinct. Nothing remains of them or of their beliefs, not even a trace. And you hear some people saying that, even these days, you hear some of these people, the Ash'aris and their like, they're saying, why do you people keep going on about the Jahmis and the Mu'tazil? They've died out, they're extinct. Why do you keep talking about them? So Sheikh Ibn Mani said, and this miserable wretch is not even aware that he himself is the inheritor of the sayings of the Jahmiyya and the Mu'tazila, and that his belief is their belief, just the same. I mean, it's just linguistic differences, but the reality behind that is the same, that they hold the speech of Allah is something created, just as the Jahmiyya and the Mu'tazila did. Alhamdulillah, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Any points of clarification on the topic?
Someone told me that he refutes the Quran is created. He says the Quran is not created because something that's created, it makes false, so it can be created because the Quran, there is no fault in the Quran. He says like this, but is there ulama who make such statement?
Allah. What's sufficient for us is that's the first thing. We take what's in the book, what's in the sunnah, and what the people of knowledge said. That's for statements of people with their own logic. We leave the logic of the people to them. No doubt the creation is deficient. That which is within the creation is deficient. And as for the creator, then he is perfect. And his attributes, he is perfect. And his speech is perfect. No doubt that's correct, inshallah. Beyond that, Allah a'lam. The point that even Sheikh Abdulaziz ibn Mani, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdulaziz ibn Mani, the point that he was making was that the first group who say the Quran is created, they just openly come out and say it. Quran is created. They say the speech that Jibreel brought down, it is the speech of Allah, but what that means is it's speech which Allah created. The same as he created the world and the universe and what's in it, he created speech, which Jibreel brought down as well. So they deny it as being an attribute of his. So they just come out and say that. Whereas the second group, they do it in a different way. They appear to be refuting the first group, but in reality, they end up agreeing with them. So he mentions that they're one at the end of the day, they're one and the same. The saying amounts to the same thing. And then obviously, they're saying that it contains a denial of messengership. That's what it involves. They're saying it would involve that. This question is not entirely clear. So can you repeat the difference between the Mu'tazila and the Jahmiyyah with regards to Qur'an? Can you repeat it? I don't think we mentioned. Did we mention the difference between the Mu'tazila and the Jahmiyyah? I don't think. I can't repeat it because we didn't mention it, I don't think. No. We had the difference between the Mu'tazila and the Jahmiyyah, between their saying And between the saying of the Kullabiyya, we had that difference. As Sheikh Muhammad ibn Mani, as he said, the first group being the Mu'tazila, those who say that the Qur'an, which Jibreel came with, is the speech of Allah in reality, however it is created, something created. And the second group are the Kullabiyya and their followers, those who say the speech of Allah, I mean they affirm the speech of Allah, but then they twist what they're affirming, they've twisted the meaning. So with the true meaning, they don't affirm it with the true meaning. They give a false meaning to the speech of Allah, and then they affirm that. So they say, the Kullabiyya, those who call themselves the Ash'aris, they say that the speech of Allah is a single meaning existing within himself. Say Allah's speech is just something existing within himself, and that Allah does not speak as he wishes. It's not connected to his wish and his will or his ability. So they refuse to affirm that Allah speaks when he wishes, as the people of the Sunnah say, Allah speaks when he wishes, as he wishes, with what he wishes. They deny that. And they also deny that Allah speaks with letters and with a voice. They say, these Kullabiyya, they say Allah's speech is something existing within himself. And then they say, they don't understand even how that can be, but they just say it. And they say it exists within himself. It's not connected to his wish and will. Allah does not speak as he wishes or wills. They say his speech cannot be heard. So, in other words, Jibreel did not hear the speech of Allah because it can't be heard. He just brought something down that was an expression of it. The same, and they say, as Sheikh mentioned, they say if it's expressed, it's something existing within Allah. If it's expressed in the Hebrew language, it's called the Torah. If it's expressed in the Syriac language, it's called the Injil. If it's expressed in Arabic, then it's called the Quran, but it's all one and the same thing, something existing within Allah, not heard by Jibreel, and so on to the rest of their deviation. With regard to this question a bit later, so referring to that which we had in the last lesson, whenever, all those weeks ago, about explaining the correct meaning of Antum A'lamu bi Amri Dunyakum, you know better about the affairs of your religion. How can we clearly distinguish between matters that are from the prophetic Sunnah and those that were considered to be personal habits of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or customs of the time and place? And questions like this, ask the people of knowledge. Ask the people of knowledge for the like of this. And just a partial answer, then that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded or recommended, or that which he forbade and warned people against, then these are affairs of the religion. These are affairs of the religion. So if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded something or recommended something or the like, then it makes it something part of the religion. And it takes it away from just being a personal habit or a custom or the like. And matters of worship, or worship of Allah, likewise, then that's matters of the religion. And beyond that, obviously the example that was called, the hadith that was mentioned, it was where he just made a suggestion to the people who were pollinating their palm trees. So he suggested to them that maybe if they left off doing that, maybe it wouldn't make any difference. So when they left off doing it, it did make a difference. The fruit came out all dry and small. So then he made it clear. Then he mentioned this hadith to them. You know better about the affairs of your religion. I mean, affairs like that, pollinating palm trees and the like, these are purely affairs of the world. They're not affairs of religion. They're not affairs of drawing closer to Allah. And beyond that, Allahu A'lam, ask the people of knowledge. What Sheikh Fawzan mentions here is that we do not differ, or rather At-Tahawi, rahmahullah, mentions is that we do not differ with the Jama'at al-Muslimin. And no doubt, and the ayah that was mentioned as well, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَىٰ وَيَأْتَبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Ayah from Surah An-Nisa, ayah 115. And whoever opposes the messenger, after the guidance has become clear to him, and follows a way other than the way of the believers, then this way of the believers, that is the way, that is the Jama'ah of the Muslims. And the people of knowledge, and amongst them Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, many times over, he clarified this point, that when this ayah came down, who were the mu'mineen, who we are commanded to follow, and we are prohibited from contradicting their way. When this ayah came down, the Jama'ah of the Muslims was the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions. His companions, they were the believers, who were the ones who are mentioned in the ayah. So no doubt, it is the companions who were the first Jama'ah of the Muslims upon the truth, and then after them, anyone who proceeded and stayed upon their way. Anyone who proceeded and stayed upon their way. They are the Jama'ah al-Muslimin. And as the famous companion, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu an, as he mentioned, Al-Jama'ah ma wafaq al-haq walau kunta wahdak. Some people think that Jama'ah, the Jama'ah of the Muslims, it means just the majority. In any place or time, it means what the majority of Muslims happen to hold, even if the majority in a particular area or time happen to be misguided. So the people of the Sunnah pointed out this is not the meaning of the Jama'ah of the Muslims. Rather, Jama'ah of the Muslims, as Ibn Mas'ud said, radiallahu an, Al-Jama'ah ma wafaq al-haq. Walau kunta wahdak. That the Jama'ah, the united body of the Muslims, is whatever confirms to the truth, even if you're alone. I mean, if you're one person and you're contradicting a majority. What's important is it's the united body of the Muslims who are upon the truth. That is the Jama'ah of the Muslims. Not just the majority who are on something false. In a certain area or something, the majority of people are upon some false saying. They are not the Jama'ah of the Muslims. The Jama'ah of the Muslims is the united body of the Muslims upon the truth. From the time of the companions until the establishment of the hour. As the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mentioned, لا تزال طائفة من أمتي ظاهرين على الحق. They will not cease to be a group of my ummah manifest upon the truth. So that is the Jama'ah of the Muslims. Those who are upon the haq, those are upon what the first Jama'ah of the Muslims are upon what the companions were upon. In matters of creed and belief, in matters of manhaj, in matters of worship, in matters of dealings, in all the matters of the religion. Whichever united body of the Muslims are upon that, then they are the Jama'at al-Muslimin. Wa subhanakallah wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.